Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. Here we are, episode 3. We are coming back with some more 80s goodness. And if you have been listening through the first two and somehow felt compelled to keep listening.
Somehow, of course they did.
We thank you very much. And yeah. Hopefully you gave us, as Mariah said in our premiere episode, all the stars. On review.
Oh, and I learned today that downloads are helpful.
Okay, well then do those too. I'm your co-host, E.K. Wimmer.
Oh, I am your other co-host, Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And you're listening to Laser Graves. So, how you been?
Wow, it's been so long since I last saw you, like, in the other room of our home.
It's been a long time. Well, I haven't seen you all day, so.
It's true, you work a lot. And, hold on, our cat is here. We're recording in our home studio, which also happens to be our walk-in closet. And our cat is trying to break in. You're looking at me with, like...
This is just really riveting introduction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
So now that you've been updated on the status of our cat...
No, I feel like they need to picture this scenario. Don't you?
No, I don't at all.
Oh, we're
this
in
a sacred space.
Super professional space. There's white walls.
We call it our clubhouse.
There's a sound engineer. His name is...
Dwayne.
Yes, it is Dwayne. Where was it? We just saw Dwayne spelled very strange.
Strangely. I don't remember.
D'Wayne.
Yeah. Now that we figured that out.
Oh, whatever. You know that's interesting.
So thanks for the update. So you've been busy is what you... That was the moral of that whole story.
Yeah, I've been so busy. Lots going on, you know, observing spelling of Dwayne and talking about our cat. Okay. How about you? How are you?
I'm good. I'm extremely excited to talk about today's topic.
Oh, okay.
Because when we first even thought of the idea of a podcast, I had some ideas and you did, and you gave me some warnings about things that were off limits. And I said, oh, no, I won't do that.
No, I didn't say off limits. I just said I was afraid this was going to become a podcast about your 1980s butt rock that you call metal.
That the world calls metal that you call butt rock.
What's the difference between butt rock and metal? I feel like we need to establish this here and now.
Okay, well, one term is used by really sarcastic hoity-toities, and one is used by people who understand the essence of rock.
So are you saying they're one and the same, like two sides of a coin? One's just better than the other?
No. Metalheads are complicated, as we're going to find out today.
Uh-huh.
They're deep, they're passionate, they have a soul, and today's topic is really something special. It's really a story of friendship, right? it's age-old friendship, you know, people who are misunderstood coming together and finding each other in this world. It's a tearjerker. Mm-hmm. It's quite the journey that we're going to go on. And I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it?
I wouldn't use the word excited, but I am interested to see where this goes because... I have had very little prep for this particular episode. Normally I watch or read or whatever. Eric just sent me a link to one blog post. And it said the blog, we should probably give him a shout out.
That's true. He did a great job.
So it's the Demon Daily Blogspot. Even though it says it's the Demon Daily Blogspot.com, it's actually the Daily Demon.
Mm.
And its tag is, "Here There Be Monsters."
Well, the reason why I sent that to you is because it was the only spot I could find that was had the text in its complete form without it being one of those old 90s websites where it's like black background with red font and your eyes cross when you try and read it.
The ones that
give you a headache.
Yeah, this one's like much more recent, from 2010.
Okay, well, there you go. So that's the source material for Mariah.
Yes.
We're talking today about Murray, the infamous mascot of the rock band Dio.
Okay, before we dive in, though, you need to tell me why you care about Dio.
Because Dio is amazing. I grew up on metal, and Dio was one of the top-tier metal bands. My sister raised me on some metal and her then-boyfriend, and I remember when I was 8 years old, so this was a year after about what we're getting ready to talk about, she and her boyfriend went to go see Dio on the Sacred Heart tour, and I begged to go, and she said no. And she
Where was it?
I don't know. It was probably like El Paso or something.
Okay.
And she came back with a tour shirt that had the dragon on it, and then she told me all about it in great detail, where he pulled out this sword and slayed this dragon on stage, and it was quite the production. And I was incredibly jealous, and I never saw Dio ever, and I'll kind of never let that go. I'll hold that against her for the rest of my life.
Does the band still tour?
How would they tour?
Well, I don't know. Like with how Journey does. They got that other guy that sings.
Well, like if Journey was called Steve Perry and then he died, I don't think they would continue on.
I don't know. Like in tribute.
No, they don't.
Okay.
I mean, there's tributes, but...
I feel like it's called Dio. Yeah, I get it. Although, to be fair, I just realized that Ronnie James Dio was dead this evening when you very disgustedly told me he was dead.
Okay, but in your defense, you just said his full name without looking at your phone, which makes me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're talking about Dio, but we're really talking about Murray, the mascot. I'll give a little background on Dio because not all of our listeners are awesome. So you will be after this episode. That's the Lazy Graves guarantee. So backstory, he was born Ronald James Padanova in 1942. Can you believe that?
He's like, older than our parents.
Before World War II, as it was just starting for America. He was raised in this Italian-American home. And I read interviews
with him. He's American?
Yeah, he's American. He's from like Jersey or something.
I thought he was Australian.
No.
And also, did he go by RJ?
No.
Okay.
But he...
Ronnie J.
He was a pretty awesome dude. He had a great upbringing. He talks really highly of his parents. They were great parents. He never did drugs or drank or anything like that. He just said I read an interview where they asked him why he didn't do all that like everybody else was in the 80s. And he said... because they raised him better than that and he didn't want to disappoint them. And I just was like, wow, that's pretty amazing. So
his parents need to write a tell-all.
Yeah.
Like,
well, they're probably dead.
Nope.
Anyway, so yeah, so he was raised, he had some formal training. He played the trumpet and then he taught himself the bass. And then in high school he had a band.
Schleppin' the bass.
Like a concert band. And, he did all kinds of other stuff. Then he started singing and that's where he really found his voice.
Oh, you look, I wish everybody could see your face. You look super proud of that.
No, he had some groups. They were kind of like, whatever, they're just doing their little thing, kind of like the Ventures and stuff like that. And then,
weird.
It was kind of weird. But you know, that's how a lot of those guys
were.
But
he's real old.
He's super old, yeah.
He's 100.
And then he started his first like real metal band or rock band, I guess you'd call it, in the early 70s called Elf, which I knew you would like. And then that kind of transformed into Rainbows, where he later went. And that's where he really made, like, a name for himself. Yeah, very big deal. In the early 70s, mid-70s.
Where are we going with this?
We're going to Awesome Land, and you're invited.
I know that you've had me read, and now we're at Elf and Rainbows. Go.
you're welcome. And so after Rainbow... they split and he joined another band. Can you take a guess? Do you have any clue?
Unicorn.
No, he didn't join Unicorn. Took over
Glitter.
For Black Sabbath. So Ozzy left.
That's a big leap from, where were we? Rainbows?
Rainbow. So he joined Black Sabbath in 79. He was with them through 82, put out some good albums. And then
that's pretty high profile to jump from.
It's extremely high profile, Rainbow. And it comes with its problems because Sabbath was pretty, you know, gold standard there. But he did
he
did a great job, and Dio's voice was so incredible compared to everybody around him. He took it really seriously. He wasn't partying and wasting his life away. He was focusing on his vocals and his weird intensity of songwriting and research.
What kind of a person was he?
He was really a heavy reader. He loved sci-fi and fiction.
Tolkien,
yeah, definitely
for sure.
Tolkien. But he was really into sci-fi. He was into like the John Carter series from Mars, all that kind of stuff. He was into all kinds of cool stuff, even into the 80s. Like one of his favorite films was The Neverending Story. He loved Labyrinth. I mean, so he was just a fan. Even when the new Lord of the Rings movies were going to come out, he was really excited about them. So he just was a heavy reader. He was just into really cool stuff. He was kind of like a D&D god in a way. So
did he play D&D?
I don't know if he played D&D. I don't know if he had time, really. I mean, that was kind of like when he was at the height of his rock career. And, he was an international rock star.
Okay. So, I would like to imagine him, like, playing D&D on the road.
But 82 comes around. I'm treated.
You dismissed that.
Well, I
entirely.
Mean, I, you know, whatever. And 82 comes around. He puts out a solo record. So he and I think the drummer from Sabbath at the time left with him, and they started Dio. They got a couple other guys they knew from back in the day. And that first album, Holy Diver, is pretty incredible. And that's really where the first time Murray pops up, the mascot of
oh,
Dio.
That's the point of today, too.
Yeah. Well, so the point was, originally, I wanted to do a podcast episode on 80s metal mascots, because I was like, what was with that phase in time where everybody felt the need to have a mascot?
That's true. That was very
You did.
Specific.
You had, like, Vic Rattlehead from Megadeth. You had Eddie from Iron Maiden. But you had
Eddie, but I read in this blog post that it's not just Eddie, it's Eddie
Ed the Head. Yeah, I know.
Also, it troubles me that it's not Eddie the Heady.
But so I was like, oh, we should do an episode on 80s mascots, because I thought that was weird. And little did I know, I've been a Dio fan my whole life, but I did not own the 1987 tour booklet from the Dream Evil tour, which apparently contained a fascinating tale.
A unique work of fiction.
Absolutely. So that's kind of what brings us today to what we're going to discuss. There was a tour booklet brochure that you could buy, you know, when you go to the merchandise stand and you buy like t-shirts and posters, and sometimes you get the tour books. We have one we got from Depeche Mode. Remember, we still have it. I don't know why we got it. And it just has gone straight into the bookshelf, and we've never done anything with it, but we have it.
But we won't get rid of it.
No, of course not. So,
but we won't look at it.
The lucky fans who saw this tour.
Somebody looked at their booklet.
Somebody opened up their booklet, and it was the typical tour. I saw it. I don't own it, but I saw it. And it's got, you know, like pictures of the band, and it talks about their biographies and which instruments they play. It's got lyrics from songs from the album that they're supporting, live photos. But then there was this one page you flip over, and it was the true story of Murray. Now, I will say nobody asked for this. Don't know.
I bet it was requested.
Why this happened? But there was the account of the origin story of Dio's mascot Murray.
But it wasn't written by RJ. I was disappointed about that.
Well, so we're going to discuss that because I think
it was. Okay. It's okay if I call him RJ.
I guess if you want.
You seem real uncomfortable.
No, I don't know if you're that comfortable with him enough to call him RJ.
Well, I remembered it was Ronnie James Dio, so.
That's true.
You get to call him RJ.
I think he did write it, and I have reasons for that that we'll get into. I just think that she.
Oh, you've got a theory.
Yeah, so the publicist is the one that got the credit for it, the PR person. And I don't think that that is the person who actually wrote it, because for her to have the knowledge that goes into this is kind of absurd.
But it's like, I would say eighth grade writing level. So basically anybody could have written it.
Well, it's not about that. It's about the references that are sprinkled in that we'll get to.
Oh, okay.
That is something that...
So he had a heavy hand at very least.
At very least.
Okay.
Either that or he handed her a source material and said, write me an origin story for Murray around this.
Okay.
Regardless, it doesn't matter because it's a true story. It's the true story of Murray. Mm-hmm. So...
Obviously. Very true.
Let's get into this. I sent it to you.
Okay.
First impressions. I mean, were you not like, oh, thank you?
Well, I mean, the guy on the blog like does a lead in where it's written by a Scientologist.
It is. Well, mm-hmm. that's what they said.
Yeah, that's what this person. I did no fact checking. I truly just read it once, and then you told me I had to read it a second time.
You do a lot of note taking and research in this blog or this podcast.
I did several pages for the last one, but no notes were taken. I did read through it, and my impression was that I imagined like 14 to 16 year old boys being like righteous in the 80s, and everybody else going okay. You know, like kind of confused why this was presented to them. And...
I'll tell you from the opening line, I'm all in. Like instantly, I'm on the edge of my seat. So I just think it's an incredible story, an incredible journey that we go on. And it gives me real insight into who he was and what he thought about, you know.
He being RJ, not Murray.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we do get an insight into Murray,
too. We
get
some character development with Murray.
Let's just jump into it.
Okay.
So it starts with setting up these two tribes that were at
the
beginning of time.
Eons and eons ago.
Yes.
When the Earth was young.
The Malakovians, which were the giants, and the Cyclops.
They don't talk about them being giants until far later.
No, they say it right up front.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a tribe
of
giants.
Oh, they do. You're right.
Yeah. And so they're giants. The giants are peaceful.
Gentle giants.
The Cyclops are evil, and it's kind of this eternal struggle. The leader of the Malakovians was named Ron Gador. And I like this point. They said, well, he was in charge of the world. Everybody danced and sang, and they ate fruit. And I was like, oh, they're vegan, too.
Yep.
You picked up on that?
I was like,
that's why the world was great. Yeah, and so...
But also, more like hippies, because they're just, like, dancing.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, they're hippies.
They seemed kind of boring, honestly.
Well, I mean, whatever. It's cool.
It seems like it would be dull.
I bet you there were some pan flutes.
For sure.
And then there was Mezrio. I laugh every time I introduce a name.
I'm going to laugh at everything.
Okay, Mezrio was the evil leader of the Cyclops. He had plans. He wanted to take over the world, right? He wanted what they had. And so he concocted this plan, a lie, where he said that a son of Ron Gador's was going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That was the prophecy. And so Ron Gador, as he expected, freaked out and killed all of his sons.
Okay, so here's my first question. We have Ron Gador, who is like, I don't know, some sort of giant hippie with his people. He obviously knows the Cyclops are like the bad boys. And so he's dumb, is what I'm saying. Like,
well,
he is like instantly, oh... The bad guys are telling me my son's going to kill me. I'll kill all of my kind.
Well, he had it like it was a prophecy. So I think he was like, well, I have to believe it. It was a prophecy. And so he kills all of his sons except for one, right? So one got away because his mom snuck him away. His name was Merlsi. That is Murral. S-E-E, one word.
I read it, and I was like, how is Eric going to pronounce that?
It's Merlsi. And his mom snuck him to the cave of...
Fenerelia.
Fenerelia. Okay, so here's where I'm going to get into some backstory. This is where you're going to be like, damn, Eric, you did a lot of research.
You have many pages of
notes. I did the deep dive on this one, so I will tell you what. I was listening to these names and I thought, were they just made up or is there a reference to all of this? Here's where I think, these are the first indications that I think Dio himself wrote this because of how nerdy these references are, that only he would be, not some random publicist.
Okay.
Especially a Scientologist publicist, right? So I think...
I don't know.
I looked into it. First off, Malacovia, I Googled that.
Okay.
And there is a reference for that word out there.
Okay.
It comes from a story that takes place in the 1870s about an imaginary city made of iron called Malacovia. It was created by this guy, I don't know how to say it, Amadeo Tosetti. And the book was called Pedali Ser Maniero. So, yeah. And it was basically about an iron city trying to fight off the Russians, and then their city starts to rust because it's in the water banks, and they all ride off on those big bicycles that have the one giant wheel and one small wheel.
Mm.
And that's what that is. So I don't think that maybe that's
story.
Where the reference comes from. But more interesting is the cave that he was sent to. So Murray's living in the cave, hiding from
Fenerovia?
His dad. Yeah, Feneralia.
Feneralia.
I Googled that,
uh-huh.
And what first came up was a reference to Frank Stella, the artist, and he has a piece called Feneralia, and it's from his Imaginary Worlds or whatever series from, like, the 90s, and I thought, was he a Dio fan? He was, like, a metalhead.
But it was in the 90s. When was this?
This is the 80s.
Yeah, what year? So what would be the crossover?
That he wrote this first, and then Frank Stella used that name from this.
Okay, I was confused.
For his painting.
Got
only
it.
Only to find out, the more I looked into that, he actually based that whole series of paintings on a book. And it was a book called The Dictionary of Imaginary Places.
Oh, what's this book?
Yeah, awesome. It's
called. Read this.
It's by Alberto Mengel, and it was written in 19. It was published in 1980.
Is it illustrated?
Yeah, it's amazing illustrations.
Oh, I'm a little disappointed because I would like to illustrate
yeah,
that
and it's
book.
Dictionary of Imaginary Places, and it basically encapsulates everything that's cool, like all of, like C.S. Lewis, Tolkien. All the way back to all the early pulp stuff, all the imaginary worlds, beasts, everything, and it's all compiled in
Why
there.
Why don't we own this?
I know, that's immediately what I
you
thought.
You should pause this, get on Amazon, and buy it.
But in there is Feneralia, so it's in there, and there's a reference. Feneralia was a small island that was uninhabited.
Not a cave.
No, well, there could have been a cave on it.
Feneralia.
Feneralia, and it had, like, buccaneers coming and going, like, trading goods and stuff. It was just from an old book in, I don't have the date, I think it was, like, the early 1900s. It was, like,
wow.
A pulp book. Oh, 1901 pulp book. So, anyway, there's already a reference, right, of pulp novels, which is what Dio was reading growing up. So, and you know he had this Dictionary of Imaginary Places on his shelf, or on the tour bus, I bet. Like
I'm disappointed, honestly, in us for not having this.
I know. That's kind of the first little reference I wanted to point out.
Okay.
So he was afraid. He never left the cave because his mom said, if you come out, you're going to die.
Okay, so here's my first problem. She's like, I'm going to keep you in this cave till you can become the leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then
like reclaim the throne.
Then she uses fairies, spelled A-E, fairies, to put him to sleep for several trillion years. So, but by the time he wakes up, all of the other gentle giants are long gone. So, I mean, somebody dropped the ball here.
I don't know if she knew how powerful the potion was going to be. So she gave him Facredin.
Okay.
Facredin? Facredin fairy potion.
That's what they gave you when you had your wisdom teeth pulled.
I know. And I slept for a trillion years.
3 trillion.
It was 1 trillion. You need to reread a third
okay,
time
Okay, here.
No, I'm going really...
to pull it up.
The Facredin fairy
yep,
potion.
Yep, trillion. You're right.
I know I'm right. And so, anyway, his mom drugged him.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that word and I thought, well, what's the reference for that? Guess what? It's in the same book, Dictionary of Imaginary Places.
So,
Facredin Valley.
One book for reference?
Well, there's no. This is a compilation. This is like a.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, a compilation of pulp stuff. So, it's referencing all the stuff. But this was a quick fix for me to not have to find the original sources.
Okay.
But it does come from a fictitious place from a 1787 book called Vatek. And it's like the Middle East or something like that. So, I thought that was kind of cool. This is what's telling me, all these names that seem, when you read on the surface, this liner note in a tour book, seem made up, but they're not. They're like
straight up laughing at every invented word.
I'm sure you are. So he's drugged for a trillion years, right? And he comes out of his cave.
1 trillion years
He wakes up, world in decay. Everybody's dead. He sees that he is the last. He's the last of the Malakobians.
Is the world in decay, or is it just humans?
Well, it's in disarray because the Cyclops ended up tricking him, and so it kind of went to crap because the Cyclops won.
But there's no more mention of the Cyclops.
Right, because they died out. It's been a trillion years. So
they sucked at ruling.
They did. Well, they probably ruled for a good billion years at least, right?
There's Cyclops, so it's half of that.
But he was in the cave so long, like Gollum, that he converted in, or like morphed into this mutated freak that was like a evil-looking creature with red eyes.
Skin.
Yeah, and so when he emerged from his cave, he looked like what we see now, this demon-looking creature.
Okay.
He kind of decides, he gets he's hungry. Dude, he's got the munchies.
He's been sleeping for a trillion years.
He walks out of the cave, immediately spots a human for the first time, and they flip out. And they're like, they freak out, they run in horror, and he's bummed out. He's like, oh, they think I'm a freak. He's sad.
Well, he is.
He wanders back into his cave, and he's just
skinned giant.
He kind of isolates himself, which is just a sad story when you think about it.
But he's already been isolated for a trillion years.
I know, and he wants out. He wants to go party.
He wants to party?
Well, he wants to explore the world. He wants to see what's up.
Okay.
But poor Morlise is destined to be lonely. So,
no, he is not. I feel like there's more on his horizon.
You feel like there's something coming. Okay, so anyway, he's got the munchies. He leaves, counters the humans. It does not go well. Everything's not going well. That's where we're at.
He's scary. He's got his demon eyes.
And now we're going to flash forward in time. Because I'm not quite sure. It was a trillion years, but I'm not sure when he woke up, how long he's been wandering the forest.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to flash forward.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready to hop in your time machine?
Yep.
To 1982.
Oh, I thought it was 7.
No.
Okay.
82. Guess who's touring the world, wearing awesome clothes, holding swords, doing the devil horns because he, you know, is credited with creating it.
He is.
Yeah, that's the urban legend. Dio. Ronnie James Dio. Little tiny Ronnie James Dio, who is basically like the equivalent of like a warlock elf that loves metal.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what he's like, if you were to kind of discuss him.
I can see that you're real focused here and real into Dio, but I do have a question.
What?
Do you think he was trying to just do the, like, sign language love sign and messed it up?
No, I think he was doing the devil horns.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's a powerful, helpful way to connect all metalheads.
I never know what to do. Yeah. I always end up doing Hang Loose. I just did it as I was trying to show it to you.
Okay, so we're in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ronnie James Dio in a 82 car. What do you think he's driving in? A Pinto?
No, I think he's doing a Lincoln.
Like a Lincoln Continental?
Yes.
So he's cruising.
Gold.
He's cruising down. He's looking for adventure because he's bored.
Grand Am. He's driving a Grand Am.
Okay. Like, he's got like a Burt Reynolds jacket on.
Baby blue.
So anyway, he's driving down the street, going through the forest, looking for adventure. He hears the legends, right? Because there's a demon living in the woods. And
obviously.
So he hops out of his car and he goes for a little walkabout.
And, demon hunting.
And guess who he stumbles across when he's walking?
I feel like it's going to be a giant.
It's going to be a pretty grotesque looking giant. But you know what happens? Dio stands his ground, and he's like, nope, I'm
going to
check you out, I'm going to see what this is all about, and I'm going to introduce myself. Gives him the devil horns, you know, and he probably responds with it, and it's a magical moment. I mean, it's pretty cinematic in my mind.
Do you think they go, like, face-to-face, like my giant? Oh, wait, nope, not my giant. I'm thinking Iron Giant.
Well, so here's the thing. They introduce each other, right?
Or hey, my giant.
I'm Ronnie James Dio. I'm the singer of a huge rock band.
Wait, does Morlise speak English?
He tries to speak English, but here's what happens. This is the sad part of the story. he hasn't spoken in so long.
His tongue has atrophied?
He's really got a hard time. I imagine him to be like Sloth from the Goonies. And be
hey, guys.
Thanks for visiting.
But he only speaks... What is their race? Like Monrovia?
Malakovian.
Nope. Malakovian. Monrovia is from the... what is that? Princess Diaries.
Okay. Well, so now that we've established that... So Merlis tries to introduce himself to Ronnie James Dio in the forest, this giant. And he says his name, but he says it with a speech impediment of some sort. So he's like... And I imagine Dio to be like...
Good try.
Like, aw, shucks, buddy. You gave it a good old go, you know. This is... I'm going to call you Murray, and we're going to be the best of pals.
I feel like you have very vivid mental image here.
It's like a movie unfolding. How has this not been made into a movie? And by the way, I'm going to say this right here, right now.
Oh.
If anybody gets the bright idea after listening to this, I have to be involved.
Oh my gosh.
This is
a
great movie.
Nobody is.
And it would do Dio justice. It would honor his spirit. So he decides, hey, we're going to be buddies. I'm going to name you. You're going to be my best pal named Murray now. And the rest from there is where it gets pretty awesome. I, in my brain, because I think of everything like a movie, see this montage now where they're like running through the forest together. They're eating sandwiches together. They're playing cards. They're like, now they've found each other. They finally have somebody that understands one another, you know, these people. And this now blossoms into just a very beautiful friendship that spans years. I mean, so what ends up happening is now Dio regularly visits Murray in the forest, and Murray recalls these grand tales of the time before time, and Dio takes really like good notes like I do for this podcast, and he turns them into lyrics for Dio's albums.
Now, okay, before we move forward, here's what I imagine. So RJ drives out in his Grand Am into the mountains, and he like parks at like a one of those little areas where you pull off and you can have a picnic and follow a trail.
Mm-hmm.
But he follows no trail. He like goes his own route, climbs to the top of a mountain, and he looks and he doesn't see his friend, and he whistles. He's like, and he listens, and there's like silence, and then from far away it's like, and then they find each other. And they reconnect.
Yeah.
They sit on a mountaintop. They eat sandwiches.
It is like the Iron Giant, now that I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. That was, you know what? That was a good reference.
Thank you.
I'm going to give that one to you.
Can we work in a My Giant reference?
You already have.
Again. Okay. I want to do it every episode.
Every episode. I'm sure you will. Let's get back to the montage and them skipping around.
Oh, okay.
Playing together.
I've left my montage. We're returning to yours.
We're going back to mine.
Okay.
I also have this imagination... Or this image in my brain of, as he's telling all these stories to him, and Dio's like, you know, awestruck and gazing up at him, taking notes. It reminds me of the scene in House 2 where Gramps is recalling the good old times of the West to Charlie and Jesse.
Uh-huh.
And it's like that. I'm like, oh, this is like a reoccurring theme in stuff
like
that we watch.
It's like an 80s thing.
It is an 80s thing. So now what you've got is Ronnie James Dio, this little elf-sized rocker in his getup, in his, like, medieval garb, in the forest, frolicking with the last remaining giant of the Malakovians.
Yeah, and obviously.
And they are BFFs. And it is just a sight to behold. They're running around. They're doing their thing. I also thought Wendy, his wife, is probably starting to get a little suspicious after a few years because he just keeps disappearing into the forest.
RJ is married?
Yeah. She was his manager, kind of like Sharon and Ozzy, but less chaotic. And they stayed in touch, Murray and Dio, for the rest of Dio's life. We're like hooked at the hip. And in a beautiful gesture to Murray, as the story goes, he asked him, "Can I honor you by using you on the cover of my albums?" And Murray said, yes. He was a little shy. He was a little embarrassed as giants are.
After a trillion years.
After a trillion years, he has now been honored. And so Dio, introduced millions of people to Murray. And although Murray was still hideous and repulsive to people, he became like an icon and a celebrity himself.
Interesting. So what's with the chains? Murray's often depicted with, like, chains.
Yeah. Like, well, with the priest on Holy Diver, how he's, like, drowning him.
Can you explain that to me?
He's breaking the chains.
But was he chained in the cave? Did his mom drug him and chain him? Because there's an issue there. Mm-mm.
I think that that's, like, the priest tried to come and chain him, and he broke free and said, you can't contain me. You might be scared of me, but...
Is Murray the Holy Diver?
Well, that's a good question. So Dio said, Ronnie in interviews would say, how do you know the priest isn't trying to drown the demon? And they would be like, huh? So he was saying, you know, not everything's as it seems, although it's widely accepted to know that Murray's definitely drowning the priest in that cover. I love this story. This is kind of the way it ends. You know, I don't know if there was a tribute from Murray to Dio at his funeral. If he, like, was in the background peeking over a tree at him.
I think he just went up into the mountains and screamed.
He just let out a primal cry. Then he ate some of the fairy potion, and he's going to sleep for another trillion years because he can't bear to be alive.
Oh, what I wouldn't give for just, like, a little, like, sprinkle of fairy potion. I'm not asking for a trillion years of sleep, but, like, a solid 8 would be... not 8 trillion. Not even 8 years. 8 hours. How much fairy potion do I need for just, like, a good night's sleep?
Well, they gave enough to a giant to make him sleep for a trillion years, so I would probably say, like, a sprinkling.
Yeah, just, like, one speck of dust.
Well, you know, whatever. You can look it up.
Find it for me.
I'll track it down on eBay.
Prove your love.
Yeah.
Find me a teensy bit of fairy dust.
Okay, well, let's get back to this.
Oh, you're, like, super focused on sharing this Dio story, and I'm, like, 40% engaged in the story.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm really trying, though, like, really trying to get on board with Dio.
Look, it's a beautiful story of friendship. That's what this is ultimately about, is friendship.
I think this would
be... In the craziest of places.
I think this would be a good time to tell our listeners about what you do to me. With regard to butt rock metal. So anytime we're in the car and any Dio, Iron Maiden, what have you.
You can name a few more.
Nope. Can't think of any. Because before we were a couple, I was completely unaware of this world. Blissfully unaware. And he will now quiz me every time we're driving and anything comes on. Who is this? And I didn't get it right for a long time. And also, I got it incorrect on purpose for many years. But then he caught on to me. And now he knows that I know a great deal about his secret world of butt rock metal.
It's not secret. And
not anymore.
You've done really well. I mean, you were even calling out obscure ones. And I was very excited. Because when this started, this journey of you... Deer in headlights. You know, it was so sweet. You were, like, so innocent.
I just shout rat.
You just didn't know the world. It goes back to the sheltered youth. You didn't know what was cool. And then all of a sudden, I introduced you to what was cool. And so this is a continuation of that. Now you know. Knowing's half the battle. Mm-hmm. And you know the story of Murray. You know the story of Dio. And I just think that it is an incredible story. Dio was an incredible person. I'm going to put this out there.
Okay.
He was very generous with his time and his money. He started charities.
What kind of charities were they?
He's got a
charities?
Really popular one that's still going called Children of the Night that supports youth and that, like, runaways and sexually abused kids and stuff like that. And it's really popular.
Aww.
Like, it's
so
it's done
like
well.
Like, in his personal life, he was a reader.
Yep.
And...
He was just a, like, easygoing family man
he
who...
kids.
He was just a...
Did he have children?
He has an adopted son, I think. I could be wrong.
Did he name his son Murray?
I don't know if he has any sons with Wendy. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he's got kids.
I really, really hope he has a child named Murray.
And he was just a cool guy. You'll like this. I know you'll like this. He was a big gardener. He loved gardening. And there's a crazy story. He lost his finger gardening one day from a gnome. This, like, big gnome fell on his finger and tore it off.
No, wait, what?
And he had to wash it off, go to the hospital, and have it reattached.
You're super confused because I thought you were messing with me.
Nope, it's a true
First
story.
First I thought you were serious, then I thought you were messing with me. Now I think you're serious.
No, it was totally a true story.
So now I'm picturing his gnome filled with like giant, or no, his garden filled with giant gnomes.
Yeah. I mean, it was, his house was like a castle. It was really cool. It was like armor and swords and everything you'd expect in Dio's home.
In America, or did he move to England?
No, he was in America.
So, like,
I think he was in L.A.
I hoped it was in New Jersey.
No.
Wisconsin.
I just thought you'd appreciate that he was a gardener. He was a gardener, and he liked cool movies, and he was a heavy reader of fun stuff. And so he was just an easygoing... He was definitely not your typical rock star. Like, while... Let's paint a picture of while Motley Crue is going down Sunset Strip in a limousine that has a hot tub with a bunch of topless women while they're, like, overdosing on heroin, Ronnie James Dio is reading, like, a sci-fi novel quietly at his home next to a suit of armor.
Okay, it was just... I'm on board
with
Dio.
You're on board, because he was awesome.
All right.
Just a backstory with me... Dio's been in my life the whole time, since I can remember, and not only did I tell the story of how I didn't get to see him, but I do have a great story that's timely because of Dream Evil, the album. So you know what the album looks like, right? For Dream Evil?
Remind me.
You were just looking at it right before we started filming.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got it's got Murray in the window, looking through into a bedroom, and it's the child sleeping, and there's like these slithering creatures and demons and stuff.
Like octopus arms.
Yeah. And so that was the cover of their fourth album, Dream Evil. And that's what this program that we're talking about, The Story of Murray, that was for that tour.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So
now I know
one year
much.
After that album came out and this tour happened and we received The Story of Murray. Little me.
Baby boy,
I was in fourth grade, 1988. Aww.
Rat tail or no rat tail?
Definitely a rat tail. Okay. Probably a Freddy Krueger shirt.
Oh, I was imagining a skate shirt.
No, that wasn't until later. That's like 9, 10.
Okay.
Here, like if I could show you my fourth grade photo is me wearing a Judas Priest shirt, remember?
Yes, I do remember.
So,
And your teeth.
Yeah, my teeth were something special. They had been Murray'd in that cave, I'll tell you that. Anyway, fourth grade, I'm sitting in my classroom. And I draw, like every metalhead did in the 80s, I drew on my covers. You know how you could make book covers with, like, paper bags in the 80s, and then you would draw on them? We would always draw, like, you know, Iron Man, like, Eddie, Metallica, and stuff like that. And I was drawing the cover of Dream Evil with Murray looking through the window with his arms crossed doing the devil sign. And I thought it was cool, but it wasn't quite what I wanted. So I crumbled it up, and I threw it in the trash. And I went to recess. And when I came back, my teacher was waiting for me with it in her hands. And this little prick who was like a really goody two shoes, scared. Well, he was like a little like scared Christian kid. And it was the satanic panic of the 80s.
That was probably me.
He saw me drawing Murray. He saw me drawing the Dio cover and thought I was just drawing demons and was a devil worshipper. Took my drawing out of the garbage and gave it to my teacher.
That kid's awesome.
And I got sent to the principal's
office.
Do
you remember his name?
No. Jerk face. And I got sent to the...
I want to look him up.
I got sent to the... He probably listened to, like, Richard Marx or something, I bet. Yes. Like, anyway, went to the principal's office where I was asked about Satanism, basically, which would... Fun fact, not the last time I would be called to the principal's office about Satanism.
Little did they know you'd marry a pastor's daughter.
That's right. So, yeah, I got called to the principal's office. Everything got resolved. But that's my little story of Dream Evil from the 80s was...
Oh, man, you must have been so cool.
Well, look at me now.
I would have totally been the little boy that pulled your drawing out and been, like, scared of you.
You know what I should do? I should, next time I'm at my mom's house, is grab my rat tail out of that drawer. And reattach it, like braid it in.
I will actually set it on fire. No. It cannot come into our home.
And by fire, that's like a metaphorical fire.
No. In case you're just now tuning in, Eric actually has his fourth grade rat tail, which is in a drawer in his mother's house. And it's fine there, I guess. It creeps me out. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I think about the fact that there is a rat tail sitting in a drawer in my mother-in-law's house, but if it comes into my house, I will truly set it on fire because I cannot.
All right. Well, the real question is right now, when I say the word rat tail,
mm-hmm. is it with do you spell?
There we go. And with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast today. My job here is done. I hope you enjoyed the story of Murray and Dio, BFFs, frolicking in the forests in heaven now. And I had a good time. Did you have a good time? All right.
Oh,
well,
gosh,
okay. So next week we're going to be covering, we're going to change it, but we're sticking with 1987. Oh. We're going with the VHS version of Killer Workout. You remember that, Jem?
Yeah, it's probably the best movie ever
right.
made.
Well, we've got it sitting out in the other room, so we're going to watch it,
yes.
and we're going to bring it all that goodness here for episode 4. Okay, well, you can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes.
All the stars. Don't forget to download, because apparently that means something.
Yep, give us 4 rat tails.
Five. I think it's five.
Okay, 5 rat tails. See, you want more.
We should probably look this up.
Yeah, we probably should, but whatever. And you can follow us on Instagram at LaserGraves. You can check out lasergraves.com if you need to look at some of the episodes. You can follow me if you want to look at 80s stuff, I guess, or whatever.
Whatever.
At EK Wimmer at Instagram, on Instagram, and you at?
I'm on Instagram at Mariah Rose Wimmer, but again, my name is spelled like Maria because my parents have problems.
Because your name's Maria, and that is a wrap. So, okay. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.
Thanks. Bye.